This episode is brought to you with the help from Newbility. Newbility is your go-to IT partner offering tailored solutions in talent acquisition, infrastructure support, network reliability, and cutting-edge AI. We help you stay ahead by turning technology into a strategic advantage for your business. Newbility, turning your challenges into powerful opportunities.
All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nickel, and joining me today is head coach of the wrestling program, Tony Willer. Tony, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. So just to kick off, I mean, you're the 15th head coach here in the history of the program. You know, your eighth season, I believe, now with the program. You know, you're previously a head coach at St. John's, kind of your alma mater. How'd you make your way down to Augustana?
So I graduated from St. John's in 2011, and then I was assistant coach for 3 years, head coach for 3 years. And actually, it was kind of an unfortunate situation that turned into a pretty good situation. They had cut my position from full-time to part-time because it wasn't a conference sport, and we were doing really good things. We had four national qualifiers. The last year I was there, had the third best team GPA in the country, something like that. And then just because it was a non-conference sport, they kind of cut me from full-time to part-time. So then I started looking at other jobs, and I had actually that season or the season before, we had wrestled Augustana. So I knew of Augustana, and then I saw that Coach Jurgens had resigned. And then I kind of just applied and ended up getting an interview, ended up coming down here. I loved it. And, they offered me the job. So
like it. Yeah, I'm always kind of curious, like, you know, when you're kind of at your alma mater, like what kind of led things here. So, now it's been an interesting journey because, you know, over your career here, it's the rise in women's wrestling, beginning to sanction official teams. You know, the Vikings are now, you know, in their fourth season. Can you maybe talk a little bit about like what that journey has been like?
Yeah, I, one of my very first meetings on campus was actually with President Balls about adding women's wrestling. So I hadn't even moved into my apartment yet. I was living on campus. I kind of, not on a whim, but just, I wasn't supposed to be down here yet. But then the way things worked out, I just one weekend decided I wanted to come down, and they set me up with on-campus housing. So I walked from my on-campus housing at House on the Hill to the president's office to meet with him about adding women's wrestling. And then it took a few years to kind of finally pull the trigger on it, but then we added it. And, you know, we've kind of gone slow and steady. You know, some programs grab like a you know, top recruit in the country, and they kind of hit the ground running, but we got a good base of girls the first year that we had it. And now they're seniors. So, each recruiting class has brought, you know, different, new girls to the program. And now we're sitting at just under 20. We'll graduate three now. We've lost a couple since the start, but, we're looking to have 25 plus next year. So, but our first, we actually had one graduate last year. She graduated, Carol Rolfe from the North Scott, graduated in 3 years. So she's our first graduate, but this is our first kind of graduating class. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun. We've had some really good success. Last year we had three national qualifiers. And then this year we're looking at our first conference champs and all Americans and stuff like that.
That's awesome. You know, in regards to practice, you know, how do you separate them out, or do you kind of roll all together?
Yeah, it just kind of depends, but typically we're separate. The women wrestle freestyle, so more Olympic style wrestling. The men wrestle folk style, which is all just, you know, the United States is the only country that does folk style. Every country has kind of their own folk style wrestling or traditional style wrestling. But since the women wrestle freestyle, the men wrestle folk style, we try to separate practices. But every now and then we'll go together if it's just like a weight cut practice or something like that. Otherwise, it's separate.
Yeah. Now, has it been some level of difficulty kind of in managing two separate schedules in season? I mean, how's that been so far?
Yeah. it's busy. It's definitely busy. We obviously have twice as, you know, most programs have a head coach for the men and a head coach for the women, and some even have like assistant coaches for individually. You know, whereas up until this last year, it was only me. I was the only full-time coach we had between the two sports. So now this year we hired Jared. He's our full-time assistant for both genders. But yeah, I mean, two practice schedules, two travel schedules, two, you know, keeping up with grades on both teams, and then dealing with any issues that come up with each athlete. You know, it's twice as much of everything. But yeah, it's been fun. I love coaching the women. My wife and I have two daughters, and our oldest was born the year going into our first season. So it was kind of fun to see our daughters grow with these, you know, college role models. Mm-hmm. for they get in the room a lot too. So it's fun. I love doing both for different reasons, but I it's busy for sure.
Yeah. Well, it seems like too, you know, 'cause I help coach a youth wrestling club. You know, it's like the girls grow up, you know, at least the last couple of years, right? They're wrestling folk style because they're in those, excuse me, they're in those mixed tournaments. You know, but then they start to transition to, you know, freestyle kind of in their high school time. So there's some similarities, you know, for sure, but certainly some key differences in kind of how they score. And yeah. But it's, you know, the rise in participation, you know, has been huge. And I always joke and say the women and the girls are easier to coach. They pick up on a lot quicker at the early ages. So, so it's been a ton of fun.
I think sometimes the women, they have a lot of questions because they want to learn the technique like right now. Whereas some of our guys, and this goes both ways, obviously, like sometimes we have women that just pick up stuff right away naturally. But it's like they want to know every answer to every question about it right now. Whereas the guys sometimes just roll with it and try to figure it out as they go. But
yeah. Now, you know, I'm curious on like, recruiting and scouting, you know, generally where in a young wrestler's career do you start to kind of pay attention, and they start to get on your radar for, you know, potentially recruiting to Augie?
Yeah, it kind of depends. Obviously with local kids, we see a lot more of them. So like that could start even, you know, as far as like being on our radar. Like I remember we used to host the Muddy Water Duels, and one of our current wrestlers was wrestling in it, and like he had a big win. His name's Michael Macias from Assumption. So like we knew of him when he was in middle school, freshman year, you know, and then just the way it worked out was he ended up coming to Augie, you know, and then I just saw a team picture over here. We had a kid, Ray Hurd, who I knew when I first got here. He was one of the first kids I met, but he was in, I don't know, seventh grade, something like that. And then by the time he was at college, he ended up coming to Augie. So, but like, it's tough to keep track of all those kids in the Chicago area at that time, you know? So I think part of it is just building the relationships, not necessarily recruiting yet, but like we host camps, we've done clinics, we have done youth competitions before our competitions. We've done high school competitions before our competitions. So I think part of it is just, you know, promoting Augustana, getting people on campus. And then, like I said, building the relationships, because you never know what kids are going to end up or even, you know, a lot of our coaches are just local people that want to help out in wrestling. So just kind of trying to, like I said, promote the program and promote myself and promote the school, and then good things happen. So
absolutely. Well, heck, that's the exact reason why I started this platform this year. You know, so many great stories and backgrounds and talent, you know, across Augustana. It's great to showcase it. And you know, you were also instrumental in, you know, the fall of 2022, you know, you really helped spearhead the way for a new facility inside Carver. So how crucial has that been for the program? I mean, you know, you just, I think in your, maybe your second season, I think, in there.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy because my office has always been where it is. Like I'm sitting in my office looking out onto the floor of the wrestling room right now. But my office was always here. So I think this is our third season in here now.
Okay.
But the first couple, I always say I tricked people into like this being a wrestling facility. Like it hadn't been decided yet. Their conversation was always that it was going to be a wrestling facility, but then there were other teams that wanted it. Like it's a great space, right? So the spring that the pool was filled in, I asked my athletic director if we could move mats in here because we wanted to run some camps and stuff. So like having a bigger space, and I just wanted everybody to know that it was a wrestling space before it was maybe actually officially decided. But yeah, I mean, we fundraised a lot of money for it. We named it after one of our alum, Tim Dodge, who he was a 2-time All-American for us. He coached 2 or 3 conference championship teams as the head coach. He was the financial aid director. And then he was also, for the IHSA, the head official for the state tournament for a few years. So we figured that he passed away a few years ago. So naming it after him gained a lot of attraction, in dollars raised. So I think we fundraised just under $150,000 to kind of make it from what it was as a pool to what it is now as a wrestling facility. So, and we actually just had our dedication for it, in October. So, that was delayed a little bit. We were supposed to do it last year, but it, Mother Nature didn't cooperate. So,
yeah. I know, I've got the backdrop here kind of behind us here, and I remember it was a pool. I remember swimming in that pool. So yeah. To see where it is today, I think it's amazing. And how do you think that facility kind of sizes up against other facilities, whether it's across Division III or, you know, kind of in the Midwest?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really good wrestling rooms out there, but I think it's a unique facility in that we compete in here, we practice in here, our coaches' offices are right here. There's only a few off the top of my head that I can think of that is kind of like this. So as far as space and functionality, I think it's probably one of the best. There are bigger rooms out there, but I think the nice part is when we schedule competitions, we don't have to check with the basketball team to make sure that we're not conflicting schedules because we have our own space. We can do our own events in here. So it's pretty cool. Last year we hosted a 6-team tournament while the Genesis Shootout was going on in the Carver Center gym. So, and that wouldn't have been able to happen otherwise. So I think it's been really good. I think as far as like wrestling facilities that I've been in, it's probably the best one I've ever been in. And it's old. It has its downfalls, I guess, but we love it. So
I mean, there's a ton of character. The wood seating, you know, it takes you back, you know, a number of years. But yeah, it's a super cool, great vantage point. Like you said, tons of room. Awesome place to watch wrestling. So I was excited to see when you made that change and see what it is today is pretty awesome. Now, you know, it's interesting. I mean, because there's been a ton of growth just in highlighting wrestling venues. But the other thing that's been interesting is, you know, Flow Sports, I'm sure you're familiar with. You know, that's been such a key platform, you know, in putting wrestling just from an exposure perspective. And it was interesting. I saw today the Flow Wrestling email came out. You know, and there was a D3 team featured. We're not going to say who it was, but does that ever come up in terms of like discussion? Because I know we really moved to YouTube for promoting that. But you know, has there been anything around Flow Sports that continues to come up? Because it's this thing of it's a great platform, but there's also accessibility issues. You know, from a fee, right? So
So this last summer, they actually sent out a bunch of emails about like they sent it out to every school basically like, hey, would you want your duels live streamed on Flow? You know, and I didn't look too much into it. As far as like, I figured there was going to be a fee and like we already do our own streaming, which, you know, I think it would have been cool to have our duels streamed on Flow because it just the eyeballs that get on it. Right. But yeah, I mean, they are trying to promote not only D1 and international style, but they want to promote women's wrestling, D3 wrestling, NAIA, JUCO. So, yeah, I mean, I think they do a great job of, obviously, you couldn't just watch wrestling whenever you wanted, whereas now you can do that with not only wrestling, but they have, you know, grappling, they have volleyball, I think, they have dance, they have all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. So promoting the sports that aren't like the mainstream, or even say they are mainstream, the lower levels of the mainstream sports, I think it's a, yep. it's a really good thing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the women's side. So, now as I understand it, there's still three college divisions, but there's really only one national ranking. Is that correct? You know, you've got like Iowa's one, North Central two, but then Grand Valley State's number four. Those are all 1-3 and two, you know, level schools. Is that how that's currently kind of set up?
Yeah. So for NCAA, it's all divisions together, D1, D2, D3. So you have us, a small liberal arts school, and we're not, but you know, by far, we're not the smallest D3 school. But we're also competing against like our regional is with Iowa, which has a $21 million wrestling room and, you know, all scholarships and all the resources that anybody could ask for, you know. They just signed Kennedy Blades this last year, who was an Olympic silver medalist, which at our level, that just doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
But for the NCAA, it's all three divisions together in the same national tournament. And then there's also NAIA, which has their own tournament, and then JUCO has their own tournament as well. So, but yeah, all the NCAA schools are together for now.
Well, and I was going to talk about, and this kind of ran into my next point on the 18th. I mean, you guys are wrestling up at Iowa City, both against number one Iowa and number four, you know, Grand Valley State. Vikings have two currently ranked, you know, wrestlers. Sandy, is it Peel? Is that how you say your last name?
File.
File. Okay, so Sandy File and then Angie Guy. You know, they're 17th and 19th. But, you know, what's kind of your thoughts going into that? And then how do you try and, like, prep the team both mentally and physically heading into, you know, a match of that caliber?
Yeah, so we've actually seen Grand Valley State. They were at the Albion tournament that we went to. So we got some head-to-head matchups against them. They're really good. They're a newer program. I think this might be their first year competing, but their head coach, Jake Short, I actually knew from Minnesota. And he was the head coach at Augsburg when they were really good. So going into the year, everybody knew they were going to be really good. And then Iowa, we've seen at tournaments and stuff, like I said, we had two of our girls, Sandy and Hannah, both wrestled an Iowa girl at the national tournament last year. You know, and they're in our regional. So this wasn't actually on the schedule to begin with. Iowa's head coach, Clarissa Chung, called me, I don't know, a month ago or two, month and a half ago, asking if we wanted to do a try. And Jared and I were talking and like, why not, right? They're in our regional. Yeah. We have to see them. You know, why not get our hands on them right away and go have an experience at Carver Hawkeye, you know? We kind of know what to expect going into it. They're both really good teams, you know, and I think we can have competitive matches with them, but ultimately it was the experience. And so we don't have surprises really at the regional, because we'll see them a month later at the regional to qualify for nationals. So if we can get our hands on them and learn something, I think that would be a good thing for us.
Absolutely. Again, wrestling in that facility, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to do any better. So, yeah. Now, on the men's side, again, have a pair of ranked wrestlers, Jacob Badger, Josh Woodry. You know, I saw Woodry, you know, won his first two matches, right, because he had the competing with football. So he was 2-0 at Simpson Central Duel, and then Jacob Badger, 7-2 on the year. But then now, you know, Michael Macias, who you were just talking about, was just named the CCIW Wrestler Student Athlete of the Week on Wednesday. Yeah. He had a nice Tech fall and decision. How do you feel like the men's side has been wrestling so far? And then, you know, who should we be kind of paying attention to, there on the roster?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We actually didn't wrestle all that good our last competition. Like Woodry, we had two duels. We lost to Central, and I didn't think we wrestled all that great. I think we had three matches that we should have won that we didn't. And they're ranked in the country. So I think really close. And I feel like I've been saying that for a couple of years now. I feel like we're really close to something really big. Now we just have to keep putting it together. And I mean, I think Macias has, you know, all the ability in the world for him to put together every match like he was last year. I think he's starting to now. Badger is really solid. He took a loss against Central that we weren't really expecting, but he's got a lot of it. And then obviously, like you said, Woodry came off a really good year last year, and he's ranked, I think he's just outside the top eight or so. But they're working hard. At a few guys that are flying under the radar. We got Jack Miller, who's having a really good year at 174. I think he's winning. I think he's leading our team in wins. Jack Padding's having a pretty good year at 165. 184, we have a solid group of guys. Braden Young has been the starter, but Clayton Bailey, I think we'll end up at 184 as well, challenging for that spot, but he's been wrestling up at 197, and he's beaten a couple of really tough kids. And then actually 149, we're really solid too. We got two guys that are kind of fighting for the spot, Mikey Rodriguez and Cameron Hanel. So I think if we can put everything together on the same day, we're going to be a really, really, really good team.
Yeah, I mean, and with the upcoming, you know, holiday break, you know, you've got the Fred Johnson duels on the 4th. How, you know, how does the team kind of keep sharp and focused, you know, coming out of the holidays? And, you know, is the team going to break away for a few days to head home? And then kind of when do they start to come back?
They actually, we're giving them off a lot longer than we have in the past. But I think with our schedule so far, our competition schedule so far, they need a little break. So typically what we would be doing right now is getting ready to go to a duels event, either in Nashville, we've done a few times, or last year we went to Ohio for the Kalahari duels. So this year we decided to not do a competition there. One reason was we were trying to get into the national duels in January. Just with like budgets and we wanted to give them a good break over, to go home over Christmas. Mm-hmm. But also, like, practicing during finals week is really kind of tough. So we gave them off so they could focus on grades and finals. And then we sent them home. We did practices during finals, but it was pretty low key. Just, you know, get in. We had two practice sessions. Get in when you can. And then when they got – when they're done with their finals, we sent them home. And they're getting workouts in at their high schools, their gyms, their local gyms. We sent them home with kind of a practice itinerary, I guess, on things that they can do for themselves while they're gone. But then we'll bring them back. December 28th, we're coming back. So we'll have a good week of practice before Fred Johnson.
I like it. Now, really kind of the last thing is, you know, as I was looking at the schedule, you have – on January 7th, you're wrestling Ambrose over there at Carver. But it's also dedicated to the Iowa Children's Hospital fundraiser. Can you share some details about that night?
Yeah. So, my wife and I, we, both of our daughters, I'm going to make a post about my other daughter. I sent one out last week about Everest. But both of our daughters were actually born at the University of Iowa. And both of them were pretty premature. Everest was 3 months. Scarlett was 6 weeks premies. So they've done a lot for us. And, you know, both of those experiences could have been, like, really not good. But as far as, like, obviously the outcome was very good. You know, both of them are very strong and happy and healthy. And my wife is happy and healthy, which is also good. But as far as like even just like dealing with the stresses of everything, it was a huge thing. So that's why we're doing it. We've had a lot of people help finding like raffle prizes, giveaways, silent auction items. And then we're just trying to, you know, raise as much money as we can. So we're going to give all the gate money away. I'm working on, you know, possibly the concession money. Just because I think it's a really good cause that we want not only our wrestlers' families, but like our Augustana students and then the Quad Cities to also be aware of. So that's kind of why we did it with Samuel Pro School, is because we typically have a really good turnout. It's a pretty fun duel having the crosstown rivalry. That's kind of
awesome.
Going on. Yeah.
Yeah, because I kept going back and looking to see if there was, you know, a fundraiser or a hospital, you know, fundraiser, you know, previously, and I hadn't seen one, so. So I thought that's pretty cool that we're doing that. And if, you know, if there are any Vikings family, friends, alumni that can attend, is there any way that they can donate kind of to that cause?
Yeah. So like I said, we're going to have the silent auction, the giveaways, that will kind of generate some money, the gate money. But we'll also take donations. So we're trying to figure out if doing like a Venmo or a GoFundMe or something would be better, but there'll be an opportunity to just straight donate. We're also trying to do a couple other kind of creative things. I just have to figure out exactly how we want to do it. So, but yeah, we want it to be a really good event. Obviously we want to wrestle really well too, but, the nice part about this event is they're NAIA, we're D3. So like there really isn't any, you know, it's just bragging rights basically, right? Quad City bragging rights, which again we want, but, I think the biggest goal for this event is to try to get as much money and awareness towards the University of Iowa as possible. So,
I love it. I love it. Well, Tony, thanks again for connecting with me. I know here on a Friday, and you know, it's been a pleasure kind of connecting with you and getting to share a little bit more about, you know, how the Vikings continue to, you know, invest in the program. And you know, all the talent of our students. So it's been a pleasure connecting, and I definitely plan to be there on the 7th for sure. So that should be a good time. And I was actually just telling my wife, I was like, "Oh, I need to grab some tickets to go up on the 18th and take the boys up there." So that'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, back to that, the D3, D1, D2 with the women, we actually host a big tournament that's only D3. So we'll have 30 teams at it, from all over the country, all just women's wrestling. So, one of my assistant coaches a couple years ago suggested doing it. And then I thought it was really good idea. We pulled the trigger on it. So we host this QC D3 National Invite, which is kind of the unofficial D3 national tournament for the women. So we had 22 teams at it last year in our first event, and then we have 30 teams at it this year. So it was a pretty good turnout, and I think it's only growing. So that's in February. But
February? Yeah, February. Well, oh, yeah, there it is, 8th and 9th. So awesome. Well, yeah, we'll have to heck, if I'm not doing anything, I wonder if I can squeeze in to come over and maybe jump on the microphone. I'll have to talk to RSID about it. So I actually, a couple of years ago, they said, "Hey, we want someone to come in and call the," it's probably 4 years now, when we hosted the CCIW championships, you know, there's like five or six mats going on in Carver. And, you know, so I was staying on like mat one and mat two, and, you know, I was like, it was like 6.5 hours of just straight calling matches one after the other after the other. It was a long day, but
yeah,
that
was during COVID too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, no spectators.
So it was I want to say we had like 600 or 800 people watch it. That day too. So it was a pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, well, thanks again. Great to connect, and we'll connect again here soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.